Vivach, Shavua Tov. This is Reuven Wolf from Los Angeles, California, Mayon Yisrael Hasidic Center. I'd like to thank you for joining. And if you would like the shiur to continue on a weekly basis, please help us out. Go to our website at mayon.com. That's mayon.com. Make a contribution and specify that this is for the ongoing Tanya radio program. Also, we're having a very special raffle campaign. You can join on our website at mayon.com, mayon.com. The winner is going to win 2 round-trip business class tickets to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to stay at some really incredible, luxurious hotels in Eretz Yisrael. They get to eat dining in any restaurant they would like, and $100 per day for transportation. This is really a royal trip. So go to our website. The drawing is going to be in 1 week. Next week, Matzah Shabbos, February 9th. So there is not that much time. But go to our website to purchase the tickets. Mayon, mayon.com. Tonight we are going to learn a perek in Tanya relating to this week's parsha, as we've done in the last few weeks. The highlight of the parsha was Matan Torah. So we're going to learn a piece of Tanya that deals with Matan Torah. Over here he's going to describe the experience of the divine revelation of the giving of the Torah. We know that aside for the Hashem transmitting the Torah to us, the mitzvahs, the commandments, and giving us instruction on how we ought to live our lives, there was the event itself of Matan Torah, which was an incredible, incredible revelation. This is the greatest divine revelation in the history of the world. On this parak, we're going to get an insight into what was the content of that revelation and its relevance to us. So this is in Parak Lamed Vav, in chapter 36, on page Mem Vav. In the beginning of this chapter, the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, the Tanya, speaks about the ultimate purpose of creation. Why did God create the world? And he bases it on a medrash, in where it says that God desired to have a dwelling place in the low. The purpose of creation. Why a creation? What's God's interest in creating the world? God wants to have a dwelling place in the low. He wants to come live. He wants to move in. And where does he want to move in? Strangest of all things. He wants to move in precisely in the lowest realm of existence. That's what he desires. That's what's appealing to him. The spiritual sublime worlds that are filled with godly light, filled with holiness, that are sacred, that are completely unified with God. God isn't really interested in making his residence over there. Where does he choose for his main primary residence is what we might call the slums of the slums, the lowest of the lowest. Obviously, he doesn't want to live there while it's a slum. He wants us to transform it into a beautiful garden. And that's our work in this world, to make the lowest type of existence, the physical world, into a home for God. Now, there's something very powerful in the idea of lias leidira, a home. A home signifies a place where the person lives the entire human being. And all that the person is expressed in their home. A person goes out of their house. There is a process of adapting. A person is not himself when you step out of your home. Of course, you interact with the outside, but your interaction is through a filter. We filter ourselves in relating and communicating and revealing ourselves to the outside. We don't show ourselves of who we really truly are. When you step out of your home and you go into a bus, you become a passenger. And as a passenger, there are certain expectations, certain modes of behavior that are expected from a passenger. So if you're listening to some music and it's a really good beat and you really love this music and you want to get up and start doing a dance on the bus, that's not really going to work. As a passenger, that is unacceptable. You get off the bus and you go into a store, you become a customer and you have to behave like a customer. You go into your office, then you're either the employer or the employee, you're either the boss, the worker. You have to behave with the mannerism. You have to wear the clothing that is fitting for that environment. If you one day just want to, you're lazy and you'd like to just come in your pajamas, you can't do that at work. However, when you come home, the relief of coming home is the place where you don't have to adapt. Here is where you can be yourself. You can kick your shoes off, relax, and you can just let yourself be free. It means that God wants to be himself. He wants to be completely revealed as he truly is. Into creation, God cannot be as he really is, because if he would let his light shine freely, if he would be him, allow himself to express himself as he is, the creation would be canceled. Because the creation could not handle God's light as it is. The creation could only receive a tiny bit of a ray of Hashem called the Ziv HaShchinah, the ray of the Shechinah. So, yes, it's true that there are supernal spiritual worlds in where God's light radiates very intensely. And the beings of those worlds are a sublime holiness. And they sing, and they yearn, and they explode, and they rapture with godly desire all their life in singing to Hashem. They're experiencing the incredible revelations. All those revelations are only a ray of God, then not Hashem himself. God himself cannot be revealed, because if God is revealed, then there wouldn't be anybody to experience him. He would cancel all of creation. All of creation would blow a fuse. So in order for the creations to maintain their existence, Hashem has to place many screens and filters through which his light comes through a process. And that filter is called Seder Hishtalshelus. There's a process of filtration in which God's light gets filtered and screened with more and more screens. The more screening there is, the lower the recipient is. Meaning, the first recipients of God's light, to them too, God's light has to come through a filter. But the filter is not, it's only filtering it a little bit. As the light continues to process into the lower forms of existence, it gets more and more filtered, and the light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Then, finally, the light gets dimmed and dimmed and dimmed until it reaches a point where there is no more revelation at all. And that is the physical world. Physical world is a place where there is no divine experience whatsoever. And that's why we can all walk around in this world, forget about God for a second, forget about God even for a minute, even for an hour, chas v'shalom, even for a day, a year, a month. People, there are people who can walk around, claim that there is no God at all, and deny the very existence of a creator, even though God is the responsible for their existence every second. And even that very thought that is deliberating if God exists or not, God is creating that ability of that person to think that thought at the very moment they're thinking it, from absolute nothingness. And yet, the miracles of miracles, God is so concealed and so shrouded and so hidden in this world that we don't feel him. We don't feel him at all. And that is the biggest novelty and the chiddush of what he's saying over here in this perek. Despite the fact that until this world becomes the garden, becomes the home for God, our world is the most unlikely to be a home for God. Because our world is the lowest possible creation. It is the farthest from any kind of receptiveness to holiness. Yet, it is as a result of our work, our culmination of work, as we're going to see soon, of the Torah and the mitzvahs for thousands of years, that we metamorphosize the physical world and transform it into a vessel that not only can it host godly revelation, but it can facilitate God himself, Hashem himself, without any limitations, without any screens. So the lowest becomes the highest. And it becomes far, far superior than the highest in order for the world to be able to handle it. How is this ever going to be able, how can our physical world, in which godly energy is the most filtered and the most reduced, how is our physical world going to be capable of receiving such immense revelation, that which the spiritual realms above could not handle? And that he says that God gave us the Torah. And one of the aspects of the Torah is, the Torah serves two things. First of all, it serves as the transmitter of divine light to the world. Through the Torah, God reveals himself to the creation, enters, so to speak, into the creation. And the Torah does a second thing. It strengthens the creation to be able to receive the light and yet not dissolve, because God doesn't want to cancel us. The whole point is he wants to have a home in the lower world. So he wants the lower world to be a world, and to be a lower world, which means to remain physical. And yet in its physical state, for it to be able to be a recipient for God's very essence. So the Torah serves as the empowering, it empowers the physical creation to be able to handle Hashem's light. And let's read inside. For this purpose, Hashem has given the Jewish people the Torah. The Torah is called strength. V'koach and power. The Torah is called Hashem Oz Le'amo Yitein. God, Hashem, gives power to the world. It says, that's referring to Hashem is giving the Torah to the world. The sages tell us that Hashem gives power to the tzaddikim to receive their reward. When Mashiach comes, he gives them power to receive their reward. What do they need power to receive the reward. Because what is the reward? The reward is going to be the divine revelation of God's essence. And how can you possibly exist in such revelation? So he says, but Hashem gives them power. They should not become nullified from existence. Mamish. Literally, in the light of God that is going to be revealed, without any garments. Meaning now, all revelation of Hashem, everywhere and every place possible, even in the highest places, is only through garments. Only through screening. When Mashiach will come, he's going to remove the screen. It says in the pasuk, that your teacher will not hide anymore. Piddish. And he explains this, the Pirush of Rashi. Hashem will not cover himself by the garment or the corner of a garment. God will not be anymore shrouded and concealed. It says another pasuk, your eyes will behold your teacher. Ksiv another pasuk, I am the eye, and eye to eye, yiru, they will see. Ksiv it says a third pasuk, lo yeh lecha oida shemesh la'or yoimam, that the sun will not be anymore your light of day. Ki hash v'goymer, ki hashem yeh lecha la'or oilam, that God is going to be your light, your everlasting, your eternal light. V'noida, now he says, this revelation that is going to be in this world when Mashiach comes, that is the purpose of creation. V'noida is known sheyamoysa Mashiach, that the days of Mashiach, u'befrat kesheyichyu ha'mesim. Specifically, when they're at the time of the resurrection, they are the purpose and they are the perfection of the creation of the world. The world has not been perfect until Mashiach comes. This is what our physical world was created for from the beginning. Was its intention is that it should become the place where Hashem is revealed more than anywhere in the highest realm. That's why we also know that the neshamas of Gan Eden are going to come back down into bodies. Why should they come back to inhabit physical bodies? Because here is where the real party is going to be. The real revelation of Hashem is going to be in the physical, not in the spiritual world. So the neshamas have to descend from the heavens above back into the physical. Now he says, now this is the part that relates to the parsha. He says, this incredible revelation of God's essence in this world was even though in a permanent, continuous state, it is only going to be after Mashiach comes, but in a temporary temporary way, this revelation was already in the world by the giving of the Torah. Something of this what happened already in the world at the time of the giving of the Torah. It says in the pasuk, how do we know that by the giving of the Torah there was such revelation? God's essence was revealed to the point that you can see clearly there's none but Him, there's nothing else. That means that there's no filter, because what is the point of a filter? The filter makes that you should be able to allow the creations to be able to be something other than God. But now, but Matan Torah, it was a situation where where you were shown to know ki Hashem hu Elohim, that God is your power. He is the only power. Einoid Movadi, there's none but Him. And the emphasis over here is Haresam Mamish. You showed yourself literally. Haresa, you made yourself be seen. Beriya chushis, with physical sight. The Jews were able to behold divinity in the physical, with their physical sight, because the physical world was permeated with God's essence, fully revealed in this world. Like it says in the pasuk, v'chala amroyim, that all the people were able to see esakolos, this week in the parasha. All the people saw the sounds, and which the sages say, usually you hear the sounds. It says, royin esanishma, they saw the sounds. What is the sound? The sound is God saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God. They saw that, which means they saw God as He was emerging from where? From, as you're going to say now, from all four directions, from all six directions. Which means there was nothing blocking. There was no blockages, there was no filters. Piddush, that's all the sages say, Mistaklin the Mizrach, when they looked to the east, the Shaymin Asa Dibor, they heard the Dibor, Yoitza Anochi saying Anochi. And as we said earlier, they saw what they heard. So they saw literally how from the east side, Anochi, I am God, your God. And the soul was to the four directions. And also from up and down. The Piddush B'Tikkunim, as also stated in the Zohar, there was no place where God did not speak with them, to speak to them from there. Hashem's light was coming from everywhere. Now, why was it? Why was it by Matan Torah there was such revelation? So he explains, because the giving of the Torah is a revelation of Hashem's will without filters. See, in the creation, the way God created the world is by hiding Himself, not expressing Himself. But in the Torah, Hashem is not hiding Himself, He's revealing Himself. Which means revelation means He's not adapting. He's just expressing who He is and what He is all about. So they gilud it soini yizbarach because of the revelation of Hashem's will, baseres adibros, which is expressed in the Ten Commandments, shen klolus haTorah, which they are the aseres adibros, they include the entire Torah, shu pnimius ritzoini yizbarach, which is the innermost of Hashem's will, the chachmasa in Hashem's wisdom, the ein sham hester panim klal, and in the Torah there is no divine concealment. When you're reading the Torah, you're gazing at God's very self. You're seeing, you're standing and looking at Hashem Himself. Like it says, in the light of your face, you have given to us Torah's Chayim, a living Torah, which means the Torah's Chayim is emanating from Hashem's pnimius, from Hashem's innermost, without any constrictions. So therefore, at the time of the giving of the Torah, there was no concealments, no blockages, and therefore you saw Hashem everywhere, because when there's no blockages, then you can see clearly how there's nothing but God. But what happened? We said earlier, what does that do? It cancels the creation. It should cancel. Because if God, there's no filter. Therefore, if there's no filter, then the creations are nullified. He says that's really what happened. That's why the Jews, in a sense, were nullified out of existence, mamish. As the sages say, that through every commandment, their souls departed. Which means they couldn't handle it. There was such revelation, it canceled them. However, we said earlier that the purpose of the Torah is twofold. Not only to reveal God, but to elevate and strengthen the creation to be able to receive it without becoming nullified. That also happened by Matan Torah. That you had both the revelation of Hashem, and in a sense, you had the nullification of existence of the Jewish people were nullified in that light, but at the same time, they were brought back into existence again by a very powerful force. And what force was that? That was the Torah. As it says, they were resurrected with the dew that is going to resurrect the dead people in the days of Mashiach. And that dew is called the dew of Torah, the sages say. It's the Tal Torah, the dew of Torah. So the dew of Torah, the Tal, that's the empowerment, that's the other effect of Torah, to empower the creations to be able to facilitate such revelation and not be nullified and not be canceled in that light. That Hashem returned their neshamas to them with the dew that He's going to resurrect the dead. And that is the Tal of Torah, which the Torah is called strength. As the sages say, whoever studies Torah, Tal Torah mechayeyu, the dew of Torah gives them life. The power of Torah and what it's doing to us, it's enabling us momentarily when the cover is going to be blown, and God is going to be revealed in the entire universe. And Hashem's essence, through the Torah that we're doing now, the mitzvahs that we're doing now, we're literally strengthening our bodies and we're strengthening our souls to be able to withstand such revelation and be there in that experience and not be nullified in that light. Have a wonderful week.